could speak, amen. So if you, if the fee is real, real cheap. How much it costs to go to Eastman, someone was telling me? $46,000 a year to go to Eastman. She's 10 or 12 bucks a half an hour, man. Where are you going to go? All right, let's get Philippians chapter 3. This is a blessing to preach this message to this group today. I was visiting down there at the VBS this week, and it sure is exciting. Whole bunch of folks, especially young people out yesterday, just proclaiming the gospel. And I want to encourage you to go on today, and those of you that aren't in, to get in, and that witness isn't a part of your Christian life, that it would become a part. And it's a blessing to know that there's the sun never sets on the evangelistic work of this ministry all around the world today. I've got two daughters in Africa. For them, I guess it'll be this afternoon today. And we got missionaries all around the world and just traveling and preaching the gospel to try to bring them in. I don't know about you, but I know that no man knows the day nor the hour. When we were kids, we used to travel to Canada. I'd say, "Are we there yet, Dad? Are we there yet?" No, we're not there yet. But when we crossed that border into Canada, I knew we were getting closer. When I started to see signs that said Midland, I knew we were getting closer. And this world is upside down. So we're just trying to get people right side up, so when they die, they go in the right direction. Amen, not the wrong direction. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray you just anoint me, and Lord, help me to cling to you. And Lord, would you strike what doesn't need to be said and put in what needs to be said that you haven't given me so far. And I thank you for this church and its work to bring the gospel to this lost and dying world. Lord, I think it's the lifeblood of a church. I think it keeps a church healthy. Lord, churches are dying on the vine, and I think this is what we're going to talk about today is a big part of that. And I pray you bless your word here for our people, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word and say, "Amen, that was good," but that we would be doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "Brethren, be followers together of me." In another place he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Another place he said, "The things that you have heard and learned and seen in me, do." Now there's a lot of competition for folks that would say, "Follow me." What does a follower of Jesus Christ look like? Does he look like a TV preacher? Does he look like whatever it is, TBN, and fella 65 years old, he got his hair all dyed jet black and big old golden rings on his finger, and lady next to him got eyelashes on 4 feet long and big old boop and all that, and begging for your money? Is that what if it says, "Follow me and send us your donation for eternal salvation"? Is that what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like? Does a follower of Jesus Christ look like a large, sometimes overweight man with a big old robe and very somber, "Let all the earth keep silence, for the Lord is in His holy temple"? Is that what a follower that says, "Follow me"? Is that what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like? That's the question we want to answer. Does a follower look like some hippie sitting off the back of a Jeep in Africa, handing out rice and being cool and all that, and some type of humanitarian aid? I got good news this morning. We don't have to wonder and ponder and come up with some little thing that we get together and ask, what does a follower look like? We have what a follower looks like. Amen? Right in the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at what we call the law of first mention. I thought, as long as the Lord talking about following, let's see the first people that He said, "Follow me" to. And so then I can, let me say this before I start, I need this message more than anyone. This message is for me. My flesh doesn't like this message any more than yours does. This world doesn't like this message we're going to preach, and the devil really hates. The devil doesn't care what you do. First and foremost, he's going to try to stop you from doing. Following is what we're going to talk about following today. Matthew chapter 4, first mention, verse 18. Let's go to 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. I can't help but see that verse, and the next group of guys we're going to see, they were brothers. I'd like to see some brothers get together. And I know brothers in the Lord, but we got a lot of some father-son teams out there. I'd like to see some brothers get together in this world. I get tired of seeing brothers and sisters bickering and fighting and hollering and squalling in the house, and then they get their friends, "Hi, how you doing? Let there be no strife, for we be brethren," is what Abraham said. He said to the church, love as brethren. It's expected that we would love one another in our homes, but that's not the message today. He saw Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, watch it, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. The first time he ever called for a follower, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's go to the next book in the Bible, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we'll be flipping around a little bit here today. Mark chapter 1. Come on in, Mike. We're family. That's all right. I'd rather have somebody better late than never. Amen? Just don't get too used to it. He's driving 4 hours. When the guy across the street comes late than never, that's not good. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. They weren't fishers of men yet. They were fishers of fish. But he said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is my favorite phrase that he says here. Luke chapter 5, verse 10. Luke chapter 5 and verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And isn't this something he called commercial fishermen? And he saith unto partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Thou shalt catch men. The first mention of followers in the Bible that were chosen to be leaders who would eventually turn and say to follow them were fishermen turned fishers for men. What does a follower look like? A follower of Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of things we could put under that title, but one of the things that you got to know for sure because of the law of first mention is a follower of Jesus Christ is going to be fishing for men. Now, get your Bibles, turn to Job, and we're going to turn to some Bible. I would have liked to put these in a different order today after we get this first verse out of the way, but I think it would be easier just to flow through your Bibles, you that might not be familiar yet. Job chapter 12, verse 7. Job chapter 12, verse 7. And here's what God does. He paints pictures everywhere in our life. You know that song we sing, something lives in every hue. Christless eyes have never seen, the skies are brighter blue. Man, the day you get saved, you get a spiritual awakening and insight in things of this world. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. He said, as the hart panteth after the water, so my soul longeth after thee. He said, consider the beast, etc., etc., etc. And he does it here. Watch. Verse 7, Job 12. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. The beast got something to teach you, like that little beast down there that was you were teaching this week, Robbie. And the fowls of the air, they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. Watch it. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. You know what we're going to do this morning and probably Wednesday and probably next Sunday? We're going to learn something from the fish. We're going to learn something from the fish. Human beings are likened in the Bible to fish underwater. Unsaved human beings in the Bible are likened to fish underwater. And God said here, if you'll look at the fish, if you'll ask the fish, they'll tell you. You ever hear someone say that, man, I felt like a fish out of water? You ever hear someone say, I'm stuffed to the gills? You ever see somebody get suspicious of someone and said, something's fishy about that person? I want to get a little deep in this Bible this morning, pun intended, and just lay some groundwork for you. There is an invisible... This isn't a coinkadinky. This isn't by accident that he said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. There is an invisible body of water over your head. You are sitting under water. The top of this water, here's what it goes. Here's your world, and then here's your heaven, and here's your first heaven, like where the birds fly, and then your space where the stars fly. And somewhere in there, invisible, is this body of water. And on this invisible body of water, the face of it is where God's throne is. It's a garment. You can't see it now. The book of Revelation, the blinders are going to be lifted off, and you're just saying, oh me, oh my. All right, so watch now. Let's start in Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at the invisible body of water that makes you a fish in the water. And you'll see a little bit more when you read, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created, while you're turning there, you know these verses anyways, you catch up with me when you get there. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep? What deep? He didn't make no deeps yet. Let's read on. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The waters, he didn't gather up waters and separate all that stuff till later. What do you mean? What waters? And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning of the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So there's a firmament, there's a heaven up there, but there's waters above it and there's waters below it. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 7. They say there couldn't have been a worldwide flood because there's not enough moisture in those cumulonimbus and stratus and all those clouds up there to ever cover the highest mountain in the world. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the, say the next two words with me. Good, you're with me. That makes me feel good. Broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. That water didn't all come from cumulonimbus and stratus and all those other names that Mr. Morrissey knows so well over here. They came from that deep, that invisible body of water. Take your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 38. Let's keep looking at it. That's not Job, that's Job. You say, why? I don't know. That's just what we've always called it. Right, Tim? I mean, we say it Job. That's before Psalms. Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, watch this now, Job chapter 38 and verse 30. The waters are hid as with a stone, the face of the deep is frozen. And that's where God's throne is. We're going to see that in a minute. Psalm chapter 29, Psalm chapter 29. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to get you underwater. Psalm chapter 29, verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak his glory, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Psalm 104. He's sitting on a flood. The face of the deep is frozen. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 2. Psalm 104, verse 2. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, and stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirit, his ministers, a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be moved forever. Thou coverest it with it, watch it, thou coverest it, what, the foundation, with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood, say the next word, above the mountain. Psalm 148, Psalm 148. You full to the gills yet? Psalm 140. This is breaking all the rules of homiletics. You're not supposed to give the scripture barrage, but we need it. Amen. Psalm 148 and verse 4. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, ye and ye waters that be above the heavens. Ye waters that be above the heavens. Now watch this. Are you convinced that there's some type of body of water that God is sitting, that the face of it looks like it's frozen? Now watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. After Proverbs, the next book, then you'll see Ecclesiastes. So we see that there's water. Now let's look at the fishmen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 in verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Now he's likened to birds, and evil men are likened it to a fish that's going to get caught in a net one day. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. It's in the Habakkuk of your Bible. Just keep flipping. I can never find it any easier than you can. So the last four are Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. If you can get that, then I think the one before that is Habakkuk. The last four are Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. If you can get that little rhythm down, then you'll find the Habakkuk right before that. Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 13, Jack Hiles used to say, if you haven't found it by now, just stop turning and pretend you did. Amen. We don't get away with that up here. We have to read it. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. The Bible really comes alive, and when you start studying it and reading it and soaking it in, you're realizing things don't just happen by accident. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. There's your face of your deep where the throne of God sets. Revelation chapter 17. Let's look at these waters one last time and then we'll move on. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. mankind is likened to a fish underwater that needs saving. And so the God, watch it, that parted the Red Sea, and He didn't just part the Red Swamp. He didn't part the Sea of Reeds. And if He drowned the Egyptian army in a swamp, it was a bigger miracle than what He did. So be careful about having to help God out. The little boy raised his hand and said, do you believe in miracles? Yes. He parted the Red Sea. Oh, you don't really believe that, do you? That was just a little swamp. Do you believe in miracles? He raised his hand again. Yes. Oh, what now? He drowned the Egyptian army in a swamp. But that Bible says that those waters were walls. What do you think they saw? But you ever been to one of them big aquariums? No, I can't see paying $40 to get looking at a fish swimming around in an aquarium, amen. But that's what thrills some people. That's the best the world can do. And so you go in there and then think big old fish. I believe that's how it was when they came through the Red Sea. The God that brought them from Egypt, a type of the world, Paul called it baptism unto Moses. They came through that sea through the other side. God that brought Joshua and his group through the River Jordan. He split those waters up and they went through that water. That God whose predecessor, John the Baptist, I've tried to find this thing in the Old Testament. I'm going to just be honest with you, brother. This John the Baptist and this thing that he did, I've tried to find, I can't find it back there, where they put people under the water. Oh, it's a law of purifying. I don't know about all that. All I know is he took grown men, like I took Carl just now, stuck him down in there out with the fishes, and pulled him up out of that water. That God, when He was made flesh, that pulled those people through the Red Sea, that pulled those people through the River Jordan, that who Himself submitted to going down in that water and coming up out of the water. That God made flesh who fed people, I believe, four times. Really three. One was what we call the Last Supper, and it said supper was finished. I think there was more to that supper than bread and the fruit of the vine. But the three times He fed people, once He fed 4,000, once He fed 5,000, after His resurrection on the shore, you know what He fed them? Fish. I got a revelation. I don't know what it is, but that God that fed probably 25,000 people, if you add the women and children, fed people fish. So guess where you find the God man when He shows up in the flesh and He's getting ready to build this church and He says, I got to find some followers. I think the old song used to say, down by the sea. Commercial, smelly. I mean, you ever been around? We're not talking about us kind of fishermen now. Get that right out of your head right now. I'm going to just go wet a line, suck on a piece of straw, put my... No! These are commercial fishermen. Aren't you glad He didn't call scientists? They're too smart. We'd be disqualified. He called fishermen. And when He called those fishermen down by the sea, He did it for a reason. Now look at your neighbor and say, you look fishy. I want to rephrase a phrase in John 21, and I want to bring a message this morning. Bring me the fish. That's what God said to those disciples after His resurrection. They were fishing all night. They caught nothing. He told them to get it to the other side. They caught a bunch. He was on the shore with His own fish already. And you know what He said? Bring me the fish which ye have caught. He said, boys, he showed up down at the dock. And he said, boys, never mind them ugly, smelly things with those gills under the water. From henceforth, I want you to look around where you are right now, and you're going to catch whoppers. No more minnows. Marlins. Marlin men. No more sunnies. Sunfish. You ever catch sunfish? Those little mouths, man. I mean, you can't get that hook. Just rip it right out and throw them to the birds, man. No more rock bass. Maybe some rock heads. Listen. Every Christian, Tom, Dick, and Harry is telling you, follow me, follow me, follow me. Which do I choose? Are they fishing for men for the glory of God? Which church do I choose? Are they fishing for men for the glory of God? Which missionary do I choose? Are they fishing for men for the glory of God? That's the law of first mention. We got a lot of fishing accessories today. And I'm for them. You can't fight a war without support. We got printing ministries, and we got shipping ministries, and we got counseling ministries, and we got music ministries. We got humanitarian aid ministries. We got sports ministries and ministries and coffee shop ministries and Christian school mission ministries and radio ministries and TV ministries, and they're all screaming, God has called me. God has called me. Invest in me. Support me. Where do I start? Are they fishing for men? That's where he started here. Is the ministry fishing for men? Is the man fishing for men? Is the missionary fishing for men? Is the money going to, first and foremost, fishing for men? We got boat manufacturers and fishing pole manufacturers and net manufacturers, and we're building boat houses. We got magazines about fishing, and we got fishing lure manufacturers and bait shops and churches to tell us how to fish. But I think up heavy with the peripherals. Not here. Not here, but maybe in your life. You know what God's looking for? Fishermen. Sooner or later, somebody has to be the one to put the line in the water. Jesus didn't choose fishermen by accident. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He didn't choose Mary by accident. He didn't choose the first four of the 12 commercial fishermen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he knew that commercial fishermen saw fish as the prize. He knew that commercial fishermen were driven by fish, catching fish, the glory of the catch, the living. It was their goal. And I think he knew, if I could hook these guys that know what fishing's about and what it pictures and all that, and I could just get that thing and turn it to them fishing for men, this thing I call the church, we can get her done. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. Watch what this fisherman says. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Paul, speaking to the Thessalonian believers, says, are not even ye? You're the trophy. You're the catch. You're the prize. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, ye are our glory and joy. Paul said, you know, I'm not thrilled about catching them things under the water anymore. I'm thrilled about catching men. But you ever catch a 200-pounder? Jesus didn't choose. Listen, commercial fishermen are disappointed when they don't catch fish. Commercial fishermen are broke when they don't catch fish. Commercial fishermen are downtrodden, dissatisfied, and depressed when they don't catch fish. And God help this church and this man and our missionaries never to come to the place where we're not catching fish and we're satisfied. Number one, commercial fishermen don't just feed fish. They want to catch fish. Now hear me well. I appreciate handing tracts. A tract, if it has scripture, is a hook in itself. But I want to give a Bible balance because I'm concerned. I know myself that I get a false sense of fulfilling my duty if I hand a tract. Jesus didn't say, from henceforth thou shalt track men. Jesus didn't even say to a tract, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Jesus said to men, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, we are a Bible-based ministry. The Bible says it. We believe it. That's all that matters. Amen? Some people say, forget about it. If I believe it or not, the Bible says it. That settles it. I'm going to shock you. And I'm not against it. You know that. I'm trying to give you the balance. There's not one gospel tract that we read about in the Bible. The Holy Spirit did not record on the day of Pentecost, Peter handed out 5,000 tracts. You know what the Holy Spirit recorded? On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and he caught 5,000 men. You know, we read about an Ethiopian eunuch over there, and Philip was in the middle of a big revival and he had time to go for one man. And you know that the Holy Spirit didn't record. And Philip went up on that chariot, sat with that man, and handed him a tract. It doesn't say. Philip went up, sat with that man, opened up the Bible, preached unto him Jesus. By the way, preaching isn't always screaming and hollering. Everybody thinks if you preach on the street, you have to be mean like some kind of, what are you mad at, man? He didn't sit up in that chariot. It said he opened up and it said the place where he read was this. He was wounded for our transgression, etc. Who speaketh this man of himself or some other man? And it said Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. He didn't say, the Bible says, whoa, he was screaming, I'm right here. Street preachers, if they're right here, now like we were doing down there, they were down in the bowl, you know, the Manhattan Square Park bowl. If you want to preach, preachers, and hear something echo around the walls, you don't have to scream if they're right there. If you're at the bus stop and they're right there, hey, can I show you something from the Bible? Preaching isn't always screaming. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't hand him a tract. He fished for the man, and he caught the man. There was a couple guys in jail named Paul and Silas. And the Holy Spirit didn't record that when they left the jail, they left the jailer with a tract. I'm messing you up. You think I'm messing you up? I'm messing me up. Are you saying not to hand tracts? We'll get to that in a minute. Peter knocking on old Corny's door. He didn't just leave him with a track. In 28 years of ministry, I've probably been connected between New York City and Mexico and Beale Street and Trinidad and probably a million tracks with not my own self personally, but with people on ventures in almost 30 years. Easy, a million gospel tracts. And I understand that the Word of God is a hook in itself. But listen, it's always better with a man on the end of the pole. I've been places where they fish and they just leave their pole out and just go in the house and drink coffee and stuff like that. I don't know if they put a little bell on there or what they do, but I said, man, this isn't as good as if this guy's sitting with his finger on that line just waiting for that little nibble so he can We're in such a rush. We don't have time to sit with people on the chariot anymore. We got to get to the next thrift store. So we throw a track down and move on and feel good about it. And listen, I'm not saying you got to open up and stand on top of the used bicycle rack at the Goodwill and start preaching. But just be careful to say, oh, we're so busy. Commercial fishermen take time to fish. Go to Luke chapter 2. Isn't it good preaching this and hearing this when you all got it all down pat? Amen. Luke chapter 2. Coming off of this good week, going into this next week. This is a big week. Big week coming up. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Verse 40. And the child grew. You know who that child was? Your Savior. And waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now Lord knows we got a lot of going on. Pastor, we're so busy. We're so busy. We're so busy. We're spent. We're worn out. We're stretched. Yeah, but how many of that is the 3 birthday parties and the 4 baby showers and the fellowships and the family picnics and the homeschool convention? I know I got the house. I know I got the yard. I know I got the school. I know I got the repairs. I know I got a shop. I know I got a work. I know I got a family. And I certainly got the feast. But don't blame the fishing when it comes to we're too busy. Because when he called these guys here, he said, boys, we're going to fish. Now here's his parents. We went to the feast. We got to get back. And he said, let's read what he said. Verse 42. When he was 12 years old. Listen, it's good to get him fishing early. You get a guy fishing early and catch some doozies, he'll get hooked. And they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus, Terry, that means if you're 12, you're still a child. Don't get smart with your mother because you got one whisker over here when you're 12 years old. Bible calls you a child. After the custom of the feast, and when he had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, got to be with the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors and hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard them were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And when he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business. The father's busyness is fishing. I know all about what the Bible says about Christian attire. But you know what I don't know? What Jesus wore. I know what he had up on that cross and they stripped him of that. I know a lady touched the hem of his garment. But I have no insight from the Holy Spirit what he wore, although I know what the Bible says about Christian attire. I know all about, not all about, but much of what the Bible says about music. Good music and bad music and right music and wrong music and rules for music. But you know what I don't know? I don't know the one hymn in the New Testament that Jesus Christ sang. I do know about wives and children. I have one wife and 9 children. I don't want to get that messed up. Amen. One is plenty. Hallelujah. I didn't mean it that way. She's all you need. Amen. And I've been to mother and children and husband and wife family conferences, and I've taught family conferences, but I don't know what Jesus' family life was like as a child coming up outside of this here, and I know that he wasn't married. Here's what I'm getting at. I know this for 3.5 years, morning, noon, and night, Jesus Christ fished. So if you're going to be Christ-like, I'm sure a tire has something to do with it, because His Word says a lot about it. I'm sure music has something to do with it, because His Word has something about it. I'm sure our interpersonal relationships with our wives and family has something to do with it. But if you're going to be Christ-like, you think you're spiritual, are you fishing? And I'm not talking about the fishing ministry. I have to throw this in. We're so out of balance. We love out of balance. We either come way on this end and we have fishing ministry. We check in Thursday night, 6 o'clock to fishing ministry. And then we check out 8 o'clock from fishing ministry. And then we go on our way and brag that we are fishermen. Then we got the other side. We call this the lifestyle evangelist. You might call this still fishing. You put the bait on. You sit back and wet a line. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hey, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm asking you, where's your fishing hole today? And are we godly? This makes me nervous. I need it more than anyone else. Followers find time to fish. Commercial fishermen, get this now, know that fish put up a fight. You ever fish? You ever watch fishing? Have you ever seen a man cussing out a fish that's fighting? Have you ever seen a man say, I don't understand these fish? What is wrong with this stupid fish? Jesus called men that realized fish fight when He wants to pull them out of the water. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Listen, that fish is getting. And that fish is going to, when he gets out of the water and sits in the box for a little while with no water, he's going to what? Die. Ye are dead with Christ. You know what that thing? And he down there with his in school playing the fool with all his friends, and all of a sudden he's hooked, and this guy's fighting this fish. He's not getting mad for the commercial fisherman. That's the thrill. And the resistance, and the running, and the trying. That's the... You think he just said, ain't no one else to get. Maybe I'll go down here and get these fishermen. You know what? You come with me, and you catch men, and the fight is just beginning. That'll change your witness. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Every time I catch a fish, they fight. Every time I get a nibble, they don't bite. Every time I latch onto one, see, commercial fishermen, why'd he pick those guys to catch men? Because they know that they're going to be a fight. Listen, they're the prize. They're the prize. The fight is the thrill. Commercial fisherman knows that fishing is work. Now, this is where our type breaks off from we that like to fish. Hey, let's go fishing. I try to go on a charter with my dad and son and nephew once a year. And let's go fishing. Let's go have a good time. You think these guys go fishing on their day off? It's work. It's work. Master, hey, you catch anything? Master, all night and caught nothing. We're going to be broke if this keeps up. These are the kind of guys I need. The guys that keep fishing and fishing and fishing for men, because fishing, fight and fishing is work. Fishing is work. And we'll be finishing up. Fishermen know, lastly, some get away. You ever notice when you talk to fishermen? He never says, I lost a small one. Right? It's always the biggest one that gets away. Man, I missed a Bambi. No. The monster got away. You should have seen it. We were just fishing here about a month ago. My son was here. He wanted to go out with my dad. And Ben came with us. Ben, Do I have a witness? I lost a monster. I mean, everybody else's, when they got theirs on, you know, a little bit. Mine, I mean, that reel was screaming. I mean, you couldn't touch it. It was so hot. It was smoking with flames. That fish was running. He was running hard. He was so huge. And guess what happened? Ben will give me a witness. The line broke. That's how big it was. I mean, if I had arms to stretch as far as Eric McCracken's, I couldn't stretch. And this really made me feel good. Carl Bish, the charter, I could tell something bothered him about that. And he pulled that in. Sure enough, that line, that pole I was using caught another fish. And he said it had stretched. That was his fault. That's how monstrous it was. You ever lose a big one? If you fished and you've lost a big one, it's a empty, awful, pondering. It had to be huge. Imagine the glory. Imagine what it would have tasted like. Imagine the bragging rights. Imagine how it would have looked mounted. Three years ago, I lost a monster. Nineteen years old. About 170. I had him on the line for about a year. And he was running. And he was fighting. And he spit that hook. And I almost quit fishing. Commercial fishermen don't quit fishing when they lose one. You know what they do? They grin, they bear it, and they drop another line in the water. Listen, if you're not saved, and I haven't had time to develop this, Brother Tim, but the unsaved man is pictured as being under the water. He wants to pull you out and make you a lamb. He didn't say, Peter, you love me more than these? Yeah, feed my fish. He said, feed my lambs. Have you ever heard anyone catch a fish and say, oh, it's so cute? You bring a little lamb in here, and I'm going to tell you what you'll hear in unison. Oh! Listen. God wants in a fish to making you a lamb. He wants to take you out of the water. And you know what you're going to end up if you don't accept Christ as Savior? You're going to end up in another lake. And these Greekified people can come at me with all this Hades and Gehenna, and it was a garbage dump because hell means this and grave means that. What does lake of fire mean? Now, Christian, I'm a follower. I have decided to follow Jesus. Here's what we have to be careful with, us sanctified, sanctimonious, pious, and all that. I call this walking with God. Every morning I walk between 5 and 7 miles, and I listen to the Alexander Scorby and the spoken word for an hour, and then I pray for an hour and out in that park, and I sort of call that my walk with God. But you know what we do? We pigeonhole God a little bit, and we got our quiet time, and I'm for quiet time. But this is what hit me in light of this message. If I live with Jesus Christ for the 3.5 years of His earthly ministry, what would I be doing when I was walking with Him? I've seen Him down in Florida casting the nets. I'd never seen that before. Then we were in New York last year, 2 years ago, and they were dragging nets. That was, you talk about a lesson for your children. Listen, first and foremost. Follow me as I follow Christ. Is it how I dress? Probably. Is it the music I sing? Absolutely. Is it how my relationships are? Yes, and we hear it and we hear it and hear it. But when Jesus Christ said, I got to get some followers, follow me and I will make you to catch men. Let's stand.